We're recording this interview in the studio, in radio studio, and you're quite used to this kind of environment because you do work with sound. How did you develop this particular connection with sound?
So I study sound design at FAMU, at the Film Academy in Prague, and I just discovered that sound independent of picture is also a very powerful storytelling tool.
How did you realize that this material that you were hearing, the conversations, I don't know which one you heard first, would be important to work with?
I knew these moments from my own life. This is how it started, basically, because I have had these conversations with my cousin, who joined the armed forces early 2023, at the end of 2022. And for some time, he and his family, they started communicating only by phone because he was all the time he was at the front line, basically. And I realized how war changed and transformed human connection and the relationships, how it transformed them and put them in the virtual space. I don't know if I answered the question.
Yes, so it was the communication with your cousin
Yes,
that
that
brought
was.
this to your mind.
Yes.
And then how did you hear or how did you gather the others?
So it was the first person was Mila from the first episode. Mila, the woman from Mariupol, wife of a soldier of an Azovstal defender from Mariupol, and
Called Serhii.
called Serhii. Yes, he is unfortunately still in Russian prison till today. And I met her at a meeting. It was Azovstal defenders support meeting. And
Here in
in
Prague?
Prague, yes, it was a very small gathering, unfortunately. There were only a few people, and I saw her. I knew that she was the wife of an Azovstal defender because she had the flag, and there was a big name of his name and his face, and there was Mariupol and free Mariupol defenders. And I was nervous, but I did come to her, and I just asked her if she would like to talk to me about her experience. That I am a student, which I still was at the time, and that I want to make a project about the war in Ukraine, and that the question of people imprisoned in Russia is very important to me. And she agreed, which I was very scared about, that she would not want to talk to me, but she wanted to talk very much.
It's described in the first episode the way she leaves Mariupol, destroyed Mariupol, and arrives in Czechia here. So she had everything in her phone. That's how it happened. You just took her phone and recorded the conversations?
No, this was not how it happened. It happened that because she does not live in Prague, I did come to her to a small Czech town, and I just sat with her and had an interview with her first. She told me about her experience, and I asked her if she has any communication with her husband, and she told me that she writes him and records voice messages to him every single day, few times a day. It was at the time it was 2 years from the beginning of the invasion. So for 2 years straight, she recorded to him messages every day, which he didn't see because he, of course, he does not have his phone in prison. And she's waiting for his reply, which I found very strong because here you have this communication, one-sided communication, basically. You are waiting for the other person to reply And you, this is the what you want the most. You want him to see it, to reply to it. You're wake up every day and you wait for this one text or call or voice message. So she was very brave to give me all of her conversations, and she sent me the voice recordings, and she also, we tried to reconstruct her phone calls from the first days of war to the ones she had with him in prison. There were three of them, and they were very short, like 30 seconds, and it was already 3 years ago.
The original communication between these people is in Ukrainian, and your audiobook is in Czech. We actually deal quite a lot with this at the radio, using sound bites and dubbing sound bites we have in Czech to broadcast them in different languages. At what point did you decide to not use the original sound?
At the beginning, we decided not to use the original sound because it was very... I promised all of those who trusted me with their stories and with their most intimate moments, because the phone conversations, this is a very intimate moment from a person's life, and I promised them that I would not use the real material. I think some of them would be okay with it, but this is how we constipated the whole project. It was basically about Czech actors giving them their voice, their Czech voice, which was, I think, also a strong moment, because we know these voices from films, from radio. We know these voices, and here they are in a position where they identify themselves with someone who lived through war. So we decided that at the very beginning.
Can you mention a few names of these actors?
Yes, for example, Pavla Beretová. She actually gave the voice to the daughter of my grandmother, who is also featured in one episode. She was great. And also Jitka Sedláčková, my grandmother, basically, my Czech grandmother, so to say. Daniel Krejčík was amazing. Of course, Anička Fialová and Miloslav König, they played Mila and Serhii from Mariupol.
These calls, these conversations are, or even SMSs, text messages, are obviously very strong, very emotional, heartbreaking. I guess it was sometimes really hard to reenact, to play for the actors during recording sessions.
Yes, it was hard, but I think it was because the director Belashenkova, she is an amazing, she's unbelievable, because she really could transform from what was in the script, the conversations on the paper. She could really transform them and for the actors. And the actors, they, for example, they had their phones next to their ear. They were really, they had their phone in their hands when they were typing the answers. They were not reading the script. They were really like acting. They were living it through the phone, because they had it in their hands always. And that was Bella's idea, which was amazing, which was really what made it authentic.
Also with the sound of, you can recognize the sound of sending, sound effect of just sending a message. And but it's just a light sound effect around it, and it becomes very natural.
Yeah, this is what our sound designer did, came up with it. It is very subtle, the sound design, so it leaves the space really for the voice, because the voice is what is very strong. And all the sound effects, they are really in the background, but they are still there, and also we didn't want the sound of bombings, explosions. We didn't want the air raid, but we wanted something that would be very similar to it emotionally, but not exactly this sound, which would made it really maybe too much as a theatrical maybe. Because
too dramatic.
Too dramatic. Because the voice was what carried the drama. It didn't need. It didn't need more. It was really in the voice.
And the content as well.
And the content and the silence sometimes.
Silence is very important in this. I don't know how it works usually for an audiobook. If translation can be. A project right after you publish the first one in Czech. Is this something that can be adapted? I guess Ukrainian, it would be tough, but is it something you were thinking about?
If, for example, to adapt it to, like, do a Ukrainian version, I was not thinking about it because when I made this decision to do this project, I thought that it does not need to be in Ukrainian because Ukrainians know this. They have they live this every day for 5 years. They have been living this, but that is also not 100% true because not every Ukrainian is living through this, and there are a lot of people who do not have connection, for example, with someone who serves on the front line, and there are people who need to be also reminded of war in their own country. And I have had these reviews from my friends, from my Ukrainian friends, that oh my God, you need to do this in Ukrainian. We need this in Ukrainian. So I am thinking about it now.
Other languages?
And other languages, of course, I would love to. It would be amazing, but like English, which is a sort of lingua franca of the audio of the audio world. yes, that would be a dream.
How was the feeling of getting the major prize for the audiobook of the year 2025?
That was surreal. That was very. I appreciated very much that the judges saw an importance in calls, because for me, as a person who has strong connection to Ukraine, I was very I have been frustrating for the past years that Ukraine. And the war that Russia started, that it is all really fading from the public public debates and media space, and also so this was the recognition was for me. It was very important. It showed me that it is important for other people to hear, that they listen to it, and that it touched them.
Also, in the political context, maybe of. Change of attitude towards Ukrainian refugees, maybe deeper in the society?
Yes, also in this context. However, I don't know if any of these people listen to the audio series, if any of those who are very against Ukraine would listen to something like this. But it is really a reminder also to those who do not find it as relevant or important topic to talk about anymore. Yes.
What would be the example of the stories? There are five episodes in the audiobook that you would keep with you the most.
Of course, it is the story that we already talked about, the story from Mariupol, because this is what it stayed with me. It is still with me. We actually became good friends with Mila, and I am still writing to her every week, or at least I try to talk to her about.
Mila left Mariupol to come to Czechia with
her
only son.
Mm-hmm. So she is here with her son, who is 11 years old. And she is still waiting for Serhii, who is today, it is already the fifth year of his imprisonment. illegal. And this is what stayed with me, because he has no idea that we did anything like this, that we did this project. He has no idea that he has become a sort of the prime hero of an audio series. He doesn't know about it, and we don't know anything about him. So this is something that I think of every day, basically.
There were, and it's mentioned in the audiobook, exchanges with some of his comrades in the Azov that were taking, maybe not exactly the same day, but from the same place. Any news from him through them?
Unfortunately, not in a long time. There haven't been any news from anyone. For months. Last year, I think it was the one really young boy. I think he was like 22 or something. He came out during the prisoner swap, and he contacted Mila, or Mila contacted him through someone from the organization of Azovstal Families Defenders. He just told her that said he has all his teeth, which is a good sign.
Which is really important.
Yes, and that he's alive, yeah. That he probably saw him in one of the cells, but he was also transported somewhere deep into Siberia. This is the last informations Mila has, and it's been really months.
In your future projects, do you intend to work also in connection with Ukraine and with what's still happening in Ukraine?
Yes. Right now, this is my main focus. Not only Ukraine, but also exposing imperialism and Russian atrocities and war crimes. But Ukraine for me is now important, of course, because it is my mother countries, but also because I think that it has an impact on all of us in Europe. It's not only about Ukrainians in Ukraine. It is about Europeans and Europe and the future of Europe, how this war is going to turn out, and that we cannot show evil that it can go further. We have to do something about it, because it is also about our future in Europe.
In Europe. And that would be a sound project as well?
Yes, I am right now focused on audio, radio, art. I found a passion in it. So this is where I would like to continue.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Thank you very much, too.